See, now look how good Jamie's doing. See how big her spikes are?
Look how big my spikes are.
Mine are much more demure and ladylike.
Actually,
but my laughing is silent sometimes, so I can't help it if I don't have spikes.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
5 minutes in.
Your heart is true. You're a
pal and a confidant.
I didn't say
I've never seen it.
Party.
You just like Angela better?
I'm just an Angela Lansbury girl.
She has no one-liners, though. She has no good lines, I don't think. Yeah,
that's
and
true.
She was always around when all the murders were happening.
No, she's the murderer. It's her.
I'm glad you know this, though.
Yeah.
Good.
Now right. I feel less safe around both of you. So.
I'll avenge your death, Jamie.
Some kind of teacup murder duo.
What if that was the name of the band?
It is now.
Murderous.
It's pretty good. I like mm-hmm. that. So, welcome to the Window Light podcast for the Unexplained episode 16.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe. Not a great number.
Tentatively titled Synchronicities Part 3.
She or as Gretchen would so say, bad.
Serendipities, part
same thing.
Three. And the continuing journey of the four of us down this weird road.
And back again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was good.
A teacup tale.
I think this is a good time to say that here we are at episode 16. We only have a few more episodes left in this season. Until the next season begins, and we've taken quite a few weeks off, and we will blame work
COVID.
And COVID and the supply chain and malaria.
Mm-hmm. Plastic.
Yeah. Plastics.
Mono.
I was bitten by a spider. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a wasp loose, yes. On the loose, mm-hmm. Terrorizing.
Still.
Look, it's been a rough month or so, but we are back. Here we are again, and joined today by Gretchen.
Hello.
Local favorite.
That's what they say.
And historian about town, Kate.
Hello.
Who both have, and will announce it on this episode, have actually accepted the offer to join us full time on the podcast. So we are your four co-hosts going
Aww.
Forward. I'm still Coy, and...
I'm Jamie. Okay.
We'll be accepting gifts for the remainder of the year.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Because you said you were announcing it, so like for a minute I got excited, like me and Kate were engaged.
Oh.
And then it made me think of...
You calling
presents.
It off already?
Well, we're going to have a full-on party about it.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's get registered somewhere.
We should. Not Target, though. Or just
we both had the same thought when we went to.
We're
going to
have a local party about town.
Oh.
So the point of today's episode is to discuss any of the synchronicities that we have experienced together or apart since the last time that we recorded together. We're also going to discuss some adventures at the Ambler house.
Mm-hmm.
That
long time ago.
Yes. That is a long overdue. And we're also going to discuss the higher mindedness that many people are experiencing as we're moving into this new era, as we'll call it, an era of awakening, rebirth, new beginnings. And just some of the experiences that we've had, or that I have had, also. And we're going to slip some of that Mandela effect in there as well. I'm going to tie it all together with a nice little bow tie at the end.
It'll be impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I've done no research for this episode. I'm basically letting the universe guide me through this conversation, because I had multiple thoughts that didn't involve having to go on Wikipedia or any other things to pull information, but I'm happy that you all did do some research because that will help. So I would like to start with a thing that has been annoying me for the past 5 or 6 nights, is that I have woken up at 4:44.
Hmm. Oh, man. 4:44. You got to go play that.
Yes. 4:44. I have woken up in time to be able to look at the watch or the phone displaying the 4:44. And it's getting a little bit ridiculous. 4:44 in numerology boils down into 12 and then into 3. So for some reason, the universe is wanting me to see this 3 constantly.
How do you feel when you wake up at 4:44?
Sleepy.
Hmm. Like you don't feel like terrified or like happy or like you're like indifferent. You're just like, damn, I wish I was sleeping.
It's kind of, indifferent, I would say.
Can you move? Is it like a sleep paralysis thing at all?
Oh, no, or I just like straight wake up. I just straight wake up and grab the phone and go, oh, it's 4:44 again.
No head. Surprise, surprise.
So, and I remember that breaks down into a 3. And if you'll remember on a previous episode, what happened? Oh, you idiot.
I was saying the head got him. And Jamie shook her head no and pointed to herself. Oh, she's the heck.
Oh, I thought you were saying 3.
Oh.
Remember the 3. And
the 3.
It's
a wonderful number.
Gretchen's number 3 right now.
I know. But if you'll remember in a previous episode, it might have been part 1 of this thing or 2, I don't remember. I had talked about seeing the number 1234 constantly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Which breaks down into...
I don't know, because I ain't good at math. I got my
4 plus 3, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh. I bet it wasn't 12.
Which reduces to...
I'm not mathematician about town for a reason.
But that reduces to a 1, which is the beginning, the start of a thing.
Do you know what time you were born?
What was it? No, it was 12 something, wasn't it?
12:34.
Like after midnight or like
noon? I don't think it was 12:34, was it?
Oh, boy. That would be so creepy. Because you know what? I was just asking somebody the other day, do you think there's a time of day, time of night, where more babies are born than others? Like, is there like a most popular time that babies are born?
That's an interesting question.
And I don't know the answer. I didn't even look it up, but I was just wondering about it.
I think I'm like 9:52.
In the evening?
Yeah.
It's 5:55. In the morning.
It's going to take me a minute.
That's fine. Continue looking at that. And then you'll also remember, I was waking up at, what was it? 3?
3. Because we were all, you were saying... It was like 3 or 3:30.
3 o'clock. 3:33 quite often. 3:33 is 9, which is a completion. That's the end.
Oh.
So for a while I was experiencing the end, and then 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah,
which became...
You were born at 12:34.
Wow. Holy shit.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, no. Shit.
So basically what I'm saying is, subconsciously, I'm taking in what the universe is telling me of, you've reached the end of a thing, you've reached the end of a thing. You're at the beginning of a thing now, you're at the beginning of a thing now. And now it's all 4:44, which becomes a 3, which I think is the universe trying to tell me that be aware of this number, 3. This is the new, whatever the new beginning is, it involves 3. And how important is 3 in literally everything that we
so important
look at? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the fake dualities that are forced onto us, mm-hmm. where it's actually all about the 3, whether you want to look at that as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Many of the other things that are broken down into 3s that we can talk about later. But I think all that happening now that I'm getting more awake about the world, I think this is just more reinforcement of you're on the right path. You're removing yourself from false dualities, the left and right paradigms and all that stuff. So it's been very reassuring to me to experience all that here lately. So that's just one that I wanted to bring up. Who else has had any... That wasn't really a synchronicity, but... oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm getting back to it now. So when I was last out of town, can someone look up the name of the Nicolas Cage movie?
Oh, shit. We were talking about him, weren't we?
We were on one episode. Where he's,
Kate, weren't you saying something?
Yeah.
And he's a submarine pilot.
Oh, no, we weren't talking about that.
Submarine captain?
I wouldn't watch something that boring.
USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage. He's in that.
No, whatever it is. Well, so I was out of town, and it was a Nicolas Cage movie where he was in charge of a submarine during, like, World War II, I think, and he lost the ship. Doesn't really matter, but I was like, okay, this is sort of interesting. I got bored with it. So I turned the channel, and then Batman, the movie, was on, the one with Adam West. And the scene that I watched was the villain's submarine coming to the surface.
Oh, weird.
As the Batboat was pulling up.
Weird.
It's very odd. And I flipped over a couple more channels, and I can't remember what the name of this film was, but they were inside what looked like a boat. It was the man that played the warden in Escape from Alcatraz was in it. That should be enough for people to Google and figure out which submarine movie this was. But as it panned out, I realized, oh, it's another submarine movie. And that was it. But it was another thing of something happening three times in a row, right back to back.
But so when was this?
Whenever I was out of town last visiting Alabama.
I just didn't know if it was close to when that little submersible.
It was way before that.
Oh, okay.
But it was well, and the first thing I thought, I think, started thinking was, oh, we must be close to a military holiday. So we were coming up on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
But it was still like 3 weeks away. So it was a little too far out for it to be like a, we're just going to show all these, mm-hmm. you know, military films. And so right before that had happened, I had been, you know, sort of convincing myself to just keep living in the moment, because I was on the road again, traveling, and just all these little occurrences kept happening of, this is frustrating to me, this is gonna cause me to slow down, I've got to stop here. But I kept convincing myself, look, it doesn't matter. If I get there an hour late, I get there an hour late, no big deal. Just like we talked about on the last mm-hmm. episode, of time doesn't really matter. And then seeing that thing happen again in threes almost kind of reinforced to me that, like, your brain is on the right path today. Keep that up. So that was very illuminating to me. Who else has had any kind of synchronistic things since we last spoke?
I feel like mine are never that deep. They're always like, I'll be like, oh, I haven't seen this movie in a while, and then it'll show up on TV, you know, or I haven't heard this song, and then it'll pop up on the radio or something like that. I don't know if it... I feel like sometimes it's not so much like a coincidence or a synchronicity.
Uh-huh. Hey.
As thank you.
Yes.
As it is like your mind, like willing it to happen, kind of thing. Like yours sounds more like there needs, like the universe is trying to tell you something.
But you are willing these things into existence. Yeah.
Like that's how I feel like we got the cat at work too.
Mm-hmm.
We needed it because we didn't have any people coming through, and we had all the mice like taking over. And I was just like, I wish we had a cat. And then he was just like there.
Shout out Bo the farm cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had one that happened last week.
Do tell.
I go to a local gym, and I was with a gym buddy on a Friday morning. And we were talking about another gym buddy that we hadn't seen in a long time. And I said, hey, his name's Tracy. He'll never hear this. But I said, hey, you know what's weird? Have you seen Tracy lately? And my friend said, I had a dream about him last night. I said, oh my God, I did too. And we were kind of comparing, like, dream details, and I don't remember that anymore. But we were just talking about how we hadn't seen him in a while, but we've been thinking about him. The next morning, on a Saturday morning, we turned around and he was standing there, and he was in a neck brace and limping, and we ran over to him and we're like, oh my God, we were just talking about you. We both had dreams about you on, you know, Thursday night or whatever it was. And he's like, yeah, I, you know, he's like, you didn't hear what happened to me? We're like, no, what are you talking about? He's like, I got in a major plane accident.
Oh my gosh.
Turns out that he had been in the hospital and was paralyzed from the waist down for like 10 days.
Oh
had
my
a
gosh.
Major accident and ended up having spinal surgery. But it was one of those things where you're thinking about somebody, and then there they are. But it was weird that my other friend had a dream about him the same night too.
Do you think it's because like the people who did know about his accident, like multiple people were thinking about him and praying for him?
Could have been.
And so like it was all of that
energy.
Like energy and thoughts and, you know, everybody praying and hoping everything would be okay. And so it just like, because y'all know him and love him too.
Yeah, that could be. That was weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Mm-hmm. It could be another one of those examples of what we have talked about before of whenever the consciousness or the pure intentions of one individual raises, it actually raises the overall consciousness of the universe. So everyone putting all their focus onto one individual could have been causing anyone else connected to that individual to start getting it, indirectly. So it just fed into your dreams. Are you very close to this person?
Oh, no. I mean, just an acquaintance.
Weird.
Yeah.
That is very weird. Yeah. Good example.
Thank you. Well, then we have our day of synchronicity, which I wish I could remember all the details about. But in May, if you guys remember some, feel free to. I mean, not that you would, but back in May it was Drew and I's, my husband and I's 10-year anniversary.
Oh, right, I remember this one.
And we were supposed to go do, you know, 800 other things, and I ended up getting sick, and, like, just all of the plans that we had just kind of fell apart, and we decided to just take it day by day. And this one day, we debated for forever and just decided we're just going to go hang out in Richmond for the day. And along every single step of the way of that day, it was synchronicity, and it kind of culminated at the end. I'll try to describe it, but it kind of began and ended. Let me back up. You asked me before, right before we started, I said, yeah, we had a whole day of synchronicities. And you said, oh, when you were out in the mountains. And I said, no, it was in Richmond, but it was kind of related to the mountains. And in a weird way, it kind of began and ended with a trip that we had taken earlier this year to Fayetteville, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the New River, and we did the New River Gorge State Park and fell in love with it. And that was a really, I think, for me, kind of like a, this sounds like it's a hyperbole, but it's really not. It was kind of a really cleansing, like, three-day weekend.
Second oldest river in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a good, it was an, yeah, that's true. It was an important trip for me in a lot of weird ways. But anyway, the morning that we decided to go to Richmond, this is fast forward, you know, a couple weeks, in May, I was on Instagram, like, scrolling as you do, and, one of the accounts that I follow was advertising that they were selling this candle, and it was a New River Bridge candle, and it was a, random Virginia, like, small business. And I'm like, oh, I'd like that candle. That's kind of cool. Well, the first place that we ended up going to in Richmond was a fly fishing shop that Drew wanted to stop into. And the first thing I saw when I walked in was they were burning that candle on the counter. I'm like, well, that's really weird. But that's just a, like, whatever. But it was just, like, it could have been any candle that they were burning, and it happened to be this New River.
That you noticed in another place.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's lots of candles in the world.
Right. Anyway, just things just kept happening that were just so weird, and we just kept walking into situations where the universe was just like, hey, you know, it was the only way I can describe it. And we were thinking that it was weird. But at the end of the day, we got back in the car, and Drew was driving my car, and we're merging onto 64. And the car that we merge behind had a bumper sticker that says, my other car is a hut on chicken legs. And Drew and I both screamed and, like, immediately called Jamie and Koi. Because I will show you. May I show photographic?
Yes, and we'll evidence. And we'll
examples.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. See if I can get to it quick enough. The interesting thing about this was that when we were in Fayetteville, the thing that we went to go do was at an art gallery. And we aren't really art people, like contemporary art people, but we were in the basement of this art gallery in Fayetteville. Shout out Love Hope Arts Gallery in Fayetteville. And in the basement was a piece of art that I looked at, and I just said to the gallery lady, I was like, hey, if that's ever for sale, I'd really like to have that. I really like that. Well, couple hours go by and we're still at this place doing this thing that we're there to do, which was completely unrelated. It was historian about town stuff. And then she comes up to me and she said, hey, that piece is for sale. I just talked to the artist. It just came off of a show that we did here, and it's just waiting for her to come and pick it up. She'd really like you to, you know, if you want it, she'd like for you to have it, because then she wouldn't have to come pick it up. And she told me the price, and I was like, oh, wow. You know, I'm on a nonprofit salary. I can afford that. I'd like to have that. So she wrapped it up, and we took it home. This is it.
Oh my gosh.
It's a painting of a hut on chicken legs. And I didn't know that. Like, I didn't really know what it was or why it was important when I saw it.
You just dug it.
I just really liked it. There's a lot about this that I like, and I looked it up, and it's a Eastern European folktale about an old woman that lives in a hut on chicken legs. And never in a million years had I heard that story before, never, you know, would have connected with it at all. And then, like, at the end of this weird day of synchronicities that began with this New River Gorge, Fayetteville candle, this was at the end of it, on this random person's bumper sticker. Like, of all the people we could have merged behind.
Right. Maybe because, like, you know, you said it was, like, a really good trip for you, like you needed it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just, like, all that stuff coming together, like, you were supposed to be on that trip, like, yeah. All that was supposed to, mm-hmm. was supposed to happen.
Well, exactly.
Like, it all merged together or whatever.
Exactly. And we were thinking about it, on the day, Drew and I, and talking about how, he's a planner, and he's somebody that has a lot of anxiety when he doesn't know where he's going to be and when. And, okay, this is what we're going to do on this day at this time, and then we're doing this. And we just threw all of that out the window for this, like, day trip. And so when everything kept happening that day, it was like, oh, yeah, this is what we were supposed to do today. And then the other thing that I found today, which I thought was pretty cool, one of the things that we did that day was take a hike around Belle Isle in Richmond. And we thought we were on the right path. And come to find out later, we took the wrong trail and we ended up in a place that we weren't really supposed to be in. But we were, because this morning I was reading an article. It was like a medium.com article about this idea of synchronicity. And the way that the article talked about the idea of synchronicity is it's the universe giving you this sense that you're on the right path and that it's helping you move forward. And I saw that word forward and I freaked out again, because this is the photo that I took on the path that we weren't supposed to be on that day. And for those of you listening, it's just a graffiti of the word forward with an arrow that I happened to take a picture of.
Is that on a cardboard sign? What kind of sign is that?
No, it's like a metal. I don't know what this was. It was just sticking up in the middle of this path. I don't know what its actual purpose is, but it's just this graffiti word forward. So I saw that word today and it reminded me of the photo that I took. And so that just kind of pulled it all together for me. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. So coincidences, maybe, but that also got me thinking about, for something to be a synchronicity, how far do these moments have to be for them to be meaningful? Cause these are all pretty far away from each other, but they're all still pretty meaningful.
Well, it's not like it's stopping.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, not at all.
Because I can remember a time in my life where, like, I don't remember experiencing them at all. You know, but it certainly does make me more aware of the moment, much like the deja vus we talked about before, how you're supposed to remain aware of the moment. So I looked up your house with the chicken legs there. Yeah,
Baba Yaga.
Yeah. So it says here that scholar Andreas Johns identifies Baba Yaga as one of the most memorable and distinctive figures in Eastern European folklore and observes that she is enigmatic and often exhibits striking ambiguity. Johns summarizes Baba Yaga as a many-faceted figure capable of inspiring researchers to see her as a cloud, a moon, death, winter, snake, bird, pelican, or earth goddess, totemic matriarchal ancestress, female initiator, phallic mother, or an archetypal image. So, I wonder how that ties into anything that you were doing that day. She also is very much associated with forest wildlife.
The forest wildlife and the snake associations. I remember, I think, talking to you about Jamie because I could go, you know, years of my life without seeing, like, a snake. And now I feel like I see snakes everywhere, like in our yard. I'm seeing them on the sides of the road. And this was springtime when all of this kind of started happening. And I have, that's one of my recurring dreams, is I'm always dreaming about snakes, which is weird. But that might just be like a word association thing. But a lot of what I've been thinking about lately, and one of my goals for the year was to try to find a way to, connect with and kind of honor, my grandmother who died a couple years ago. And thinking about how to spend my year really trying to connect with her in ways that I couldn't do when she was living. And so that idea of kind of a matriarchal connection and, you know, ancestry and stuff, that really speaks to me, too. I hadn't heard that about Baba Yaga before.
The only thing that I thought was interesting about a lot of the articles is, you know, it's always defined as, like, meaningful coincidences that seem to have no cause is, like, the main definition. And while there are a lot of articles that talk about how it's the universe trying to send you signals, a lot of them were trying to disprove them by saying there's no way to unprove that theory.
Hmm. Say that again.
So there was many articles trying to discredit it. As there were trying to support it.
The thing that I wrote down about it, and it kind of goes with both of what y'all were saying, I think it says there's like, it makes the possibility of the divine, you know, like a link that is an underlining order in the universe that is profoundly reassuring. You know, so like it makes you, like it reassures you that you are indeed on the right path, or it tells you you're not on the right path, like abort, get out of there.
Yeah.
But like you have a connection to God or something, you know?
Yeah, I think they do a good job of showing you that you are not insignificant in this whole situation. That you are tied to everything around you. And in some ways, your intentions and how you're seeing the world, that you're, you know, kind of making that happen. I think I've said that 1,000 times now, but it shows you that you are connected to everything. And it's just sort of a way to remind you, or your brain is starting to tap into others that are along the same lines, and they're just playing these little fun games with you of, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. It's all fine. Here's some fun little synchronicities to play with. Here's some deja vu to throw you off. Here's a weird numerology thing that'll keep you
guessing.
It was never the Berenstain Bears all along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only other synchronicity thing is that one connection is that a lot of articles said that the occurrence of synchronicities was enhanced. It's enhanced in people who practice mindfulness, who are altruistic, so do selfless things and good things for others, and people who are sociable seem to experience them more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're being more aware.
Yeah.
And mindful of every moment, right?
And I like that right place, right time thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Here's a little pat on the head to tell you you're doing good.
You're doing good. Yeah, exactly. I would say one of the the downsides of all this is, and then we'll segue off into something else, of, you know, doing a lot more research into just the overall, just the nature of things. I find it so hard now to have conversations with people that involve, what'd you do last night? What school is your kid going to? What about this car? It's just, I have no tolerance for. I just want to shake people and go, don't you realize you're living in a simulation and you're creating all this yourself? You know, and just, there's so many more important things that I feel like we could be talking about to raise each other's consciousness. And every time I hear someone talking about their flight getting delayed,
what are you doing for the fourth?
Oh God, yes. And I feel like that
crying under my bed like everyone should be. That's what I'm doing for the fourth.
I just feel like it just drags me down. I don't have any patience for it, and I've just forgotten how to have that small talk stuff, and I start to dread it, you know. And it's, and I can see, you know, why maybe. But I'm not letting it frustrate me too much, because again, all the other little things that keep happening are very reassuring. I just have to find a way to like bridge that gap, or figure out a way to like transition out of small talk conversations. Whereas like, and let's actually really get to know one another, or if we don't really have an interest in getting to know one another, let's just not do this. You know, it's like we don't have to, we can sit in silence if we need to. You know, how do you pivot away from that into something that is more consciousness expanding? I'm not trying to be hippy dippy about it, but like, let's have a conversation that means something that we'll remember later on.
Yeah, I only don't have patience for it in people who I feel like are trapped in their own negativity spiral. So people who are,
they ask just, you about your kids, but they don't really mean they, it, yeah, because you know they don't give a crap.
But if I feel like a person gives off positive energy and is engaged in talking to me, I can use those as like stepping off points to talk about other things, but I cannot handle it when I know that people do not have,
yeah, no, I get that,
anything but negative intentions, and they're giving off negative energy.
Right, and you can feel that. Do you think that gets easier to discern? I don't know if that's the right word. The older you get, like the more you can be like, that person isn't really asking because they care. They're asking because they think they should say it, or because they want to say something negative, or think something negative, or hear something negative, maybe.
Yeah. But like, how many times, sorry to cut you off, like, how many times do we ask each other, like, hey, how are you doing? What does everybody, like, automatically say to that?
Fine. Yeah. And that's what you're taught. Like, well, when I was a kid, I remember saying, you say okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, well, nobody wants to hear your troubles.
And to be honest, I don't think, sometimes I don't want to tell them how it's going. It's not so much that they don't want to hear it. You know, it's not like I'm looking out for them. It's like, I don't want you to, if it's somebody that, I think if it's somebody that like cares about you and you care about them, then that conversation will come up a different way, you know?
Yeah. It won't start with those cliche small talk statements.
The quickest way I found to diffuse it or really keep a conversation going afterwards is when someone says, you know, hey, good morning, how are you? Alive and well. Because it's a fact. I'm alive and I'm well. They'll either stop and be like, what? And then you'll have a conversation, or they'll just keep moving. So I know there was really no point in that happening.
I saw something on the Instagrams lately. I feel like I keep seeing it over and over, which probably means I need to start using it or something. That a common way of answering that question in like Norwegian culture or something is up and not crying. I'm just gonna start using that, like, hey, how are you, Kate?
Yeah,
up and not crying.
Yeah,
unless I am.
Dry tear ducts, doing great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, got all my sobbing done last night.
There has been a lot of crying lately.
Yes, there has been.
Other people, not me.
Yes,
I mean, me too. Tear though. Ducts welded together years ago.
Yeah, had them sucked dry.
That's not how it works.
Took a pill, dried them right up.
It's an elective procedure.
It's not how it works.
Yeah, I had to pee out of pocket.
That's not covered by our insurance.
Won't even cover it, the jerks.
But I have started to notice those people that are more higher-minded. I keep saying this, probably the wrong way to define it, but people that are more higher-minded or seem like they're continuing to be even more higher-minded than before, and those that are not seem to be getting worse.
There's definitely a divide going on.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's just really reinforcing that whole duality thing that we've talked about. I think that's part of whatever's trying to keep us from our true nature of, you know, living with nature and being, you know, godly beings. Whatever is trying to keep us from doing that, I think it's somehow the devil is dumbing down the public more and creating this strong, this idea of a duality that it's either this or it's either that.
Well, and I didn't even know how, I know this sounds probably dumb on my part, but I didn't know high-mindedness meant what it meant. I guess I thought it meant like snooty. I didn't realize it had all of these positive characteristics like strong moral character, honest, noble, virtuous, chivalrous, conscientious, ethical. Like, I didn't know it meant that. Mm-hmm. I thought it meant like you know a whole bunch and you're real snooty
like
about
it or
something.
Better than other people. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought growing up that it meant,
But it's something that everybody should want to aspire to, I would think. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just one of those things you want to be.
I think a higher-minded person is able to see beyond the surface. Mm. Like an empathetic person, but like a truly empathetic person.
You can read people.
Who can see both sides of what someone is doing instead of automatically writing someone off. Not giving them a pass, mind you, but also realizing that they're doing this and it really has nothing to do with me. And you really can say, I'm above this. I don't have time for this. I'm on a whole other path and plane now, and I'm thinking about things holistically. Everything impacts everything else, and I can't live in a little pocket universe anymore. And I think that's what being higher minded is all about, and just realizing all the strange things about how, you know, frequency has a certain color, and that certain color flowers vibrate at the same frequency as a crayon of that same color, and that's a sound, and that sound has a note, and that note has a color, and that all these things are somehow woven together. And when your mind starts thinking about things like that, all the other little petty things just become annoyances, mm-hmm. not something that you feed into. Yeah, you don't give it any energy. You starve it.
That's a really hard, I don't want to say habit to break, because I don't think that's a habit. I think it's deeper than that. I think it's just how we are, just, you know, humanity-wise. And I've been thinking a lot lately about the things that get me completely out of control. And they're all things that are just completely made up. Mm-hmm. Just totally made up.
Yeah.
Just things that I make up, stories I make up in my head, or, you know, that may or may not be true, or things like email. Mm-hmm. We made it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, it's not, it's really not.
Or reading into that stuff, or worried about what, I worry about that a lot, like what people are thinking, or if I've said something that's hurt somebody or been offensive. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't think about that, like you should consider other people's feelings. But, you know, I think I put a lot of, too much of my like life is like thought about worrying about like, did I say the right thing? Mm-hmm. And I think the people, like my mom used to always say when I was younger, like if I was like all upset about something, she'd say the people that mind don't matter, and the people that matter don't mind. You know, yes. And there is something to that. If people really care about you and know you, they'll know you didn't do it on purpose or say something hurtful on purpose.
Yeah. My mom used to say, if someone speaks bad about you, live so that no one believes it. Mm. I mean,
like above reproach kind
of. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's horrible. As like a 5-year-old, but I understand the point.
Well, friends, that's going to be the end of part one of episode 16. We got a little long-winded this week in our conversation and our thoughts and ruminations. So we're going to release this part right now. And next week we will put out part two of this episode, where we dig off deeper into the Mandela effect. We discuss the Ambler House and some other synchronicities going forward. As always, you can follow us on the social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Just look up Window Light Podcast. You'll find us there. And of course, you can write to us at windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com. That's windowlightpodcast, all one word, @protonmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you, hearing about any experiences you may have you'd like to share with us. And we will talk to you again next week. Thanks so much.